You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart, now and always.
Micah chapter 6. I'll read one verse, then I will go to John chapter 13. And I will read two verses. Then I will speak on something that is very important. Very important for those of us that love God and want to please Him. It's a very important directive from heaven I want to share with us today. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. He has showed you, O man, and this is mankind. God's instructions are not difficult. He has showed you, O man. Everybody here, man there, is not gender sensitive. It simply means male and female. Mankind. What is good, project for me again, and what the Lord requires. That's all. What is it? To do justly. That is equity, fairness, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Anything outside that is not Christianity. This is like a summary of our faith. To do justly, be just, be fair in life. Be fair in life. When your wife is guilty, look at her and say, sweetheart, you're guilty. Heavenly Father, we ask that you teach us and you help us to obey your words. In Jesus' name we pray. You may sit down. I'll go to John 13 in a short while. Something, I read a book years ago on complications of our faith. And I want to write my own on complexities of our faith. People have complicated the Christian faith. We have complicated it totally. Absolutely. He has showed you, oh man. And that is in the Old Testament. Prophet Micah, one of the minor prophets to Israel, said, what is good and what the Lord requires? I learned that passage many years ago. I used it as my watchword for a few years, because I have different passages I use to guide my thoughts, influence my decisions, to make me a better Christian. One of them is Joshua 24, verse 15 and 15. When it says to us there clearly, and that's a passage that I like so very much as well, to serve the Lord in truth and in sincerity. So if you find that foundation of truth came to be, it was many years ago God told me, son, just walk with me and be truthful to men. You don't have to like you. Just do what is right. He has showed you, oh man, mankind, everywhere. Black, white, Caucasian, Hispanic, Arab, anywhere. What the Lord has not changed. The requires, in that passage you find tithe. You find that things, but it's hidden. Number one, to love justice. We must be just. Our country is not making progress because we are not just. Nepotism everywhere. The northern president will appoint only northerners in his cabinet. It's wrong. Oh, by the way, I do it as well. You do it as well. All of us do it. All of us. A few months ago, I was supposed to send a list of people to somewhere that are looking for jobs. I said, my own people must be there. Only my people. Why my people? That was what I did. My people. To be a Christian can be simple if you want to be simple, and can be difficult if you want to be. what is good and what the Lord requires of us all. And one of the requirements of the Lord I want to say today, you see, the word requires gives it laxity that you can choose to do it or not do it. But let's go to John 13, and I want to magnify one word under the requirement of the Lord. John 13, verse 34. John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I wish that phrase will not be there, or that line will not be there. I wish that line will not be there. Because if that line is not there, then it's easier for me to define the way I will love you. But he gave us the standard, as I have loved you. Please, Lord, delete it. Just stop with love one another, and then I can say, well, this is how I can love. But he says, as I. So he had to quickly tell you, the standard is me. As I. You see, if you just stop there, the new commandment, thou shalt love one another, that's good. Because you and I cannot begin to define love differently. But he says, as I have loved you. So the standard is who? The next verse now says what? Next verse. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you speak in tongues, when you attend big churches, when you dress in good suits, when you have money and cars, when you are prosperous in God's house, by this shall all men know when you love one another. Let me preach on the subject commanded to love. Commanded to love. Very difficult. And the word I want to bring out there is what? A new commandment. The word commandment, I don't think I can even preach for too long today, because it's Thanksgiving service and I want to dance. But the key word is a new commandment. Now, you and I do not understand what that meant when Christ said it, but the Jews will understand. Because when Christ stood out and he said that, the average Jewish mind immediately grasped, because the word commandment is meant mitzvah. It's like the 10 commandments. Only the King of Kings and God himself gave commandment to Israel. It was a religious term and a religious word. So when he said a new commandment, what he meant is, you may need to drop Mosaic 10 commandments. So he was using the same phrase that Moses used when he says, thou shalt not. He was an order, an edict, a mandate. A commandment is not a suggestion. A commandment is not a suggestion. It's an order. Maybe this democratic dispensation has killed our understanding of autocracy and dictatorial tendencies of the military. When the military man gives an order, you dare not. Yes or no? Maybe if we were under military rule, we will understand a new commandment. Democracy has weakened theocracy. God gave a commandment. He said, you want to have an opinion. You want to analyze God's order? Hey, where the word of the Lord is, there is power. Ecclesiastes 8:4, the word of a king. Where the word of a king is, there is power. God says something, you say you want to go and take it back and say, can we do it? How do we do it? It's not possible. Like, where? A new commandment. Christ was not asking you for your opinion. It was not a suggestion. He gave an order, a directive. We tend to think, no. I have my rights. Like, where? American rights. Where has rights gotten them to? A new commandment. A new command. It was a commandment. If there's anything you will leave here today with, it is, I have been commanded to love. If I disobey, I know I'm disobeying. But it's a commandment. A commandment. A new commandment. He said, I give to you. It has nothing to do with tithe. But it's somebody said to love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know. By this and this only. This is how you will define your Christian faith. When you love. Brethren, love is very difficult to teach and preach. Easy. Everybody wants to receive it. Nobody wants to give it. Everybody wants to receive, but nobody wants to give. When it comes to love. And Christianity is defined by love. The gift of God to humanity, Christ, on the cross of Calvary, epitomizes the greatest expression of love. That he will give his only begotten son, that we should give ourselves to our own friends. In John 15, he said, no greater love has any man. No greater love that the man will lay down his own life for his own friends. We have not done a tenth, a hundredth, perhaps a millionth of what Christ did, and yet we call ourselves Christians. Christianity is about love. Love. Agape. And agape is God's kind or God's type of love. There are different kinds of love. It is not a big deal if I love my son. I'm expected to. There is filial, there is filial, there is heros. There are different words used in Greek to describe love. And because the Bible was written originally in Greek, you get? So what people use word Greek is that was the language the Bible was used originally to write the Bible. The New Testament. Where the Old Testament had two different languages, Aramaic and Hebrew. But the New Testament was written originally in Greek. So what we do is we try to go and understand, to study the words used. So then to now understand within the Greek language what that word meant. So we can understand what God is expecting of us. He has showed you what is good and what God requires. Now requirement in this point has become a commandment, in my opinion. To love. Yesterday, our cabinet members, I want you all to appreciate them for me, went out. Please let me put your hands together for church cabinet. It was not my idea. It was Pastor Troy's idea. She called me during the week. Said, Pastor, I think it's important for us to demonstrate what we teach and preach. I want all leaders, HODs and HOM, of his church to go out and visit their members, pray with them. I said, beautiful idea. I embraced. I said, go ahead and execute it. All of them went out for 2 hours, 3 hours, knocking on doors of our members to show that we love you, to visit. And when they went, my heart was rejoicing. That God, thank you. Church is not just, this is church service, but the real church is answer church service. This is church service. The real church is after church service or before church service. To show the strength of our church. Not these 2 hours here. It's not 2 hours of singing and preaching. No, that's what we do here is just refuel you. It's what we do after this. Do we love one another enough? Do we pray for one another? Do we care? Don't forget, like I said, everybody wants to be loved. Nobody wants to give it. If all of us are takers, have you seen the movie Takers? I love that movie, Takers. I've seen part one and part two. Very great movie. I watch movies, by the way. Don't mind them. He's praying, he's watching a movie. I also pray. I also study the Bible. Oh, work and no place makes Jackie. I also watch movies. My son and I want to go and watch football. My team is playing today. My son and I want to go and watch. Have you seen that movie Black Panther? I understand it's very great. Have you seen it? Maybe I've seen it, yeah. I love what now? Ah, let me see your hands up. I might have seen it. There's nothing wrong in watching movies, oh. Don't watch bad ones, though. My son has been saying, Dad, let's go and watch it. He has watched it. My wife too has watched it. I said, okay, I must watch it. Black Panther. He says, it's very good. He says, it talks about Africa. We're trying to dominate the world now. Black man can dominate the world. Amen. Amen. But let's go back to love. My honest desire is to have a church that practices the Bible, not preach the Bible alone. Preaching and practicing are two different things. I'm speaking today like a father to his children. So you can know what makes us Christians. It's not our tongue talking. By the way, tongues are good. Not our prayers. By the way, we have to commune with God. But our loving. Our loving. When the leaders went out and they brought good report for me, my heart rejoiced, skipped for joy to know how our members are doing and faring. To love. Love, brethren, is a commandment. Please, not a suggestion. It's a commandment. God has commanded us to love. If we don't love, we are disobeying divine commandment. If we don't love, we are willfully disobeying heaven's instruction. Willfully. To love your neighbor. Oh, it's my neighbor. I've explained to you in the Samaritan Project. People around. Those outside church. Those of opposing faith. Those not of your tribe. We can't keep preaching hatred and say we are Christians. Christ didn't do that. Christ did not preach hatred. He didn't preach hate. He didn't tell people to hate one another. No, he said love one another. Love conquers. Love is the most potent force on earth. We just don't know it. It's the most potent force. So powerful. Love is so powerful. You've had different testimonies of love, haven't you? One of the greatest preachers that ever lived in the UK, Snitu Guswad, was conquered by his love of his wife. The wife was a believer. He wasn't. The things the woman did, humbled, conquered. And, there must be something in this thing that this woman, I do all kinds of things to her. She repays me back with love and kindness. What kind of a person? What are you eating? Why are you eating? Church. She did not retaliate. She did not revenge. We are preaching revenge, retaliation. God said, vengeance is mine. We have ministries and pastors that have twisted scriptures. That's why I am not of, I do not believe in militancy. It's not our faith. There's nowhere in the Bible you find that. No, it's not. It's not. If a man says that, he's saying that as a human being, not as God's servant, not an oracle of God. Not an oracle of God. They slapped him. They spat on him. They whipped him. In fact, he said, do you think I cannot call 12 legions of angels to defend me? He refused to. He restrained himself. Did not use his power, exercise his full power. Today, we're all believers because of his act of love. The word love means a mandate. Mark 16 is our mandate. It's a mandate. The word commandment is a mandate. That word is so. I want you to leave there today with the word commandment. Love is a commandment. I don't know how to explain it. It's an order. is ordering us to love. It is an order. He even wrote it down. I've ordered you to do this. We never see love as an order. We see it as a subtle advice. Not even a suggestion, like an advice, like a counsel. You know the difference between a counsel and I'm a counselor. And I tell people when they come to my office, and when I teach pastoral counseling and marriage counseling, I tell them that the difference is that in counseling, you lay the options on the table for people. You show them what can happen in their lives. If they take this decision, this will happen. You help them, but they should make their own decision. But then I ask you, sir, thank you for this counsel, but what is your advice? What do you think I should do? Me? Yes. I think you should not marry that man. But these are the things that may happen if you marry a man that smokes, drinks, does not go to church, beats you. You may likely, the chances of having a happy marriage is very slim. You show him or her with Bible passages. But then to now say, give me your more than a counsel, what do you think I should? That's different. Even with that, you still cannot hold her. I cannot order you. They say, no, you must. No, I can't. You can say, who are you? I'm not going to obey you. But love is an order, not an advisement. Not an advisement. Not a suggestion. That is where we have seen it. Even me. I can choose not to love. But I can choose who to love. How many of you understand me? Yeah. No, we choose not to love, or we choose who to love. I choose to love only Ernest. I won't love this one. It's my choice. At least I'm still loving. I'm going to love my own way. I'm going to love my own style. I'm going to love my own time. That means I will not forgive the person for now. When I'm okay, then I can forgive. That is my own style of doing things. Oh boy, you are disobedient. You've just told God, keep your own, I'll do my own. Let me tell you something that you should never forget till you die. I will say it now and I would stand by it and I go to heaven. Nobody loves agape way and goes to hell. Don't you ever forget that you die. I've searched my scriptures and I'm preaching these with authority from heaven. The key to heaven's gate is agape love. Oh, you can do miracles and go to hell. Matthew chapter 7. In your name, we cast out devils. We did miracles. We did this. We did that. They didn't say we love the brotherhood. You cannot quote me anywhere. Go study your scriptures. Go find out what I'm saying. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You do not do the will of my Father. What is the will? Love. You cannot love and go to hell. Oh, I'm telling you to quote me and search scriptures. Show me one passage that negates what I just said. I've been preaching this for years. Love. That's why I try. I told my wife, we must love. Because this heaven journey, if there's no heaven, let me get it to find there's no heaven. But for now, I know there's heaven, and I don't want to miss it. You can cast out devils and go to hell. In fact, you can do charity, what we call philanthropy, and say go to hell. Say, if I give, 1 Corinthians 13, if I give all my goods, and my body to be burnt, and I have no love. That's strange. I don't understand how a person can go that far and have no love. 1 Corinthians 13, look at it, verse 3 and 4. Whenever I read that passage, it makes me weak. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burnt and have no charity, it profits me nothing. Brethren, can we think for a second? I give all my goods to feed the poor, and I don't have love. How is that possible? I'm coming. That's politics. 2019 is coming. They will give you bread and rice. They will campaign to you. We love you. They will go and sell their houses in America to fund the campaign. You think they love you? You think they love you? It's a business thing to them. When they get to office, they get their money back. Do you get the point now? It's happening at home very high there. Though I give my own goods to feed the poor, come and take rice, oh, come and take milk and sugar. All of you are coming to take rice and milk and sugar. It's for your vote. You can go that far without love. Very strange. But those that give with love, oof, you go to heaven. Because love is a fragrance. You see, everything we do, in every offering you give, what, I'll show you now, what God smells is the love. Love is a fragrance, like a perfume. Oh, so even if it is just 2,000 and filled with love for God, you get the point? It ascends to heaven. But if you give 2 million and there's no love for God in it, it's a foul smell before the heavens. God does not accept it. He will not accept it. It's heavy. It's heavy in the box, but it's light in heaven. It's heavy on earth, light in heaven is. That's why God accepted in Luke 21, 2 pence, 2 mites of a widow. Brethren, love is a commandment. Jesus used that word clearly. It's a rule, but we call it the golden rule. Do unto others what we want to do unto you. It's love. If we can only live by that rule, you'll find peace on earth. Have you watched those dastardly videos? That's why I don't like social media anymore. It's somebody sent some to me, my father in the Lord. I said, Daddy, I don't watch these things. Because they are animals that will slaughter human beings. Have you seen some? I don't know how human beings even record it. When I was much younger, I saw them beating thieves in Lawansin. Oh no, those were thieves, and people were stoning. Hey, ole, ole, ole. People were throwing stones and doing. Me, I was all trying to do bagado. I pick a stone. If you see the way I threw the stone, you threw it to run away. And when you think hit the man, I'm like, how much more to kill in the name of Islam? They are demonic people, not human beings. All those people in ISIS, they are not human beings. They are animals. Demons have possessed them. Possessed their spirit, their brain, their body. They are no more. They are animals. They are barbaric. Because when I kill a chicken, I feel the pain. Chicken. How much more a cow? But we should not retaliate. You cannot say, you should go and do it. Me. Kill. I will love. It's a commandment. I'm commanded by heaven to do it. Two wrongs, they say, don't make a right. The whole commandment is in 10. It's there from the law. The whole commandment, 10 commandments, Exodus 20. The first four of those commandments have to do with your relationship with God. The last 6 have to do with your neighbors. As you have, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt love your father and mother. Those ones are with. But the first four have to do between you and God. I have no other God, I have no idol, do not bow. So it tells you about what God expects from us. And that's just the commandment. The law is bigger than the commandment. The commandment is in the law. So when you hear the Bible talks about the law, it wasn't speaking about just the 10 commandments. When you hear the Bible speak about the commandments, it's speaking about those 10. Very critical. Brethren, what matters in Christianity is keeping the commandments. If you don't keep this commandment, his commandment, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19 to 20, if you don't keep it, then we can't be called Christians. Love is the submission and the crown of the law. Galatians 5:14 tells us that. Romans 13 verses 9 through to 10 explains that to us clearly. Loving is not going to be easy. Especially the agape love, it's not easy. But we need grace. We need to pray that God will give us grace to love all men, to embrace all men, to reach out and to forgive. And to have so much. I'm asking God to give me a lot more on my inside so I can give out to many more around me. Love is only what God will accept for us. The fragrance. Ephesians 5 verse 2 tells us that. Please let me project Ephesians 5 verse 2. And I'm not teaching love as a commandment of man, but as a commandment of God. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. As he has loved us, I don't want that. And giving himself for us an offering. Can you see now? And a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling fragrance. That's it. It's an offering. What God accepted was not just the body on the cross, but the love that took him to the cross. It was love that took him to that cross. And the cross concert is around the corner. The cross campaign has started. We should be asking ourselves, what am I going to do for the cross? Not what has cross done for me. Oh, the cross has done so much for us, but what am I going to do for the cross? By the way, I'll give my money for the cross. I'll give my time for the cross. I'll give my time for the cross. I will campaign for the cross. I will invite men to the cross. Because the cross has done so much for me. I will let love drive me, influence me, motivate me, stimulate me, take care of my steps, influence my actions. Love, God's love. God's kind of love. The law cannot stand before love. Mahatma Gandhi, the most influential person in India, said if Christians said he read his Bible and he deducted his non-violence philosophy and ideology from the Bible, when he was in South Africa, he said he had never found a man in the history of mankind, but he was a brilliant lawyer. Said in one of his writings that it read all men, great books about men, but the only man that is found to be uniquely different and influential was this man called Jesus. And I want to be like him. So he walked up to a church trying to be like Christ. And the church said, we don't want you because of the color of his skin. So he said, if Christians can only practice what their Christ preached, that they would have conquered the world long time ago. He went back to India, went to England, then went back to India, and now became a Hindu. And 1.3 billion people are in India today. Muslims about 8-10%. Hindus about 70-80% because of one man's faith. Imagine how many hundreds of millions we've lost. Because he became a little Jesus for them all. Love. Brethren, love. Let me tell you some things about love. Love does not respect class of people. Classes, Pastor Agiri, is an economic term concocted by economists from the days of Christ. They look at your wealth, how much you are worth, and they put you in a class. This one is upper class. This one is middle class. That one is lower class. Before God, we are what? We're equal. Because God does not measure you by your wealth. He doesn't. He measures you by your heart. God does not look at my pocket to tell me who I am. Economists do. Political scientists do. So that church is the middle class church. That church is upper class church. That's why many people want to go to a particular area in Lagos where the upper class are living. Where is that? Ikoyi and where? Lekki. To go and plant church on every street so we can get upper class, middle class. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are you saying Christ did not die for those you call lower class? Hello? Can I ask you a very funny question? What class was Jesus when he walked on earth? He was lower class. He was not in middle class. It's carpenter class. His father was carpenter. Don't tell anybody I told you, please. This is our secret. This is our secret. Upper class, call him today. Because he's in the higher class in heaven. Why would Jesus come to earth and choose the lower class to identify with every man?
left glory, left power, he left pomp, he left angels. He identified with those that are downtrodden. And today our gospel is far from them. The Lord will help us all. To love. God will help us to understand love. He will help us to understand love, genuine love. God's kind of love. It is mammon we love, no love souls. A friend of mine called me 2 weeks ago. He said to me, he said, Yomi, when are you moving to this side of the state? Because he and I, 4 or 5 years ago, looked at a house in one of the most beautiful estates in Lagos. And I said to him, I said, no, I'm not coming there anymore. He said, why? No, this is Ulele now. You have to come here. This is where we all are. I said, no. I said, I love Ulele. I'm not coming there. I have my esteem intact. A location cannot define my personality. I'm not going to be redefined by where I live. I will never define myself with where I live. You must never get to that point. Don't enter that trap. Please, don't be trapped. Don't enter that. It's a very bad trap. It's a trap. Once you enter, you are going to be there forever. You will be walking like a monkey. You want to kill yourself. They make us feel this. It's a very bad trap. I said, I'm not coming anymore. Because he found a house for me. And I said, I don't want anymore. Because I don't want. It's you have to read scriptures. Let scriptures guide your decisions. Let the Bible guide your decisions and your steps. It is important for all of you today. I'm going to round up in 7-8 minutes because Ogbole is timing me. Timekeeper. Don't mind him. He don't love me. You should love me by giving more time. Praise God. I said, praise God. How do I love? Number one, carry one another's burden. Galatians 6, verse 2 to 6. I'm giving you how to love practically. These are practical definitions of love. In that same passage, it's not saying you should not bear your own burden, no. Because in verse 6, it says bear your own burden too. But in verse 3, it says bear one another's burdens. Look for somebody's burden to bear today. Somebody's load to carry. Somebody to help. To be concerned about somebody else out there. Become burden bearers. Paul said it. That's how to love. That's how to fulfill the commandment of love. It's a commandment. Carry my burden for me. Look at your sister. What can I help you to carry? Hey, you are going through enough. Can I support you? Can I assist you? Can I help you? To think less of yourself and more about other people. How can I be of support to you? Let me help you. Bear ye one another's burden. So fulfill the commandment of Christ. Think about that. Call people. Love people. Visit people. Care about people. Care. We started our community church. It didn't work because we don't want to love. It's supposed to be a love cell. The only reason it failed was because there was no love there. Because if love was there, love never fails. Love cannot fail. 1 Corinthians 13. Love, it never fails. Love will put life in everything. If love is driving it, and it's not doctrine, and it's not religion, love is driving something, it can't fail. Because you would know it's a responsibility. It becomes on you. I have to go to bear somebody else's responsibility. There's somebody waiting for me so I can carry that person's burden. I have to be there. I have to make it work. It has nothing to do with me now. It has to do with my brothers, my sisters, my neighbors. I'm not living for me. I'm living for them. Let's go back to basics. Basics is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, all thy mind. And the second is second to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Upon these two hang all the laws and commandments. Matthew 22 verse 40. Upon these two, all the commandments derive their strength from it. Love. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets
Hang means like a hanger. That's where they are getting their power from. Do you know what has killed love in the church? With us pastors. Can I tell you? Competition. And every time I say it to my colleagues, they don't like me because they say I have big mouth. One of my colleagues said, you can't invite me to this place. It's like the fellow of the church. He will come and begin to shout at us here. I said, I'm not shouting. I'm going to tell us to change our ways. We are competing. If you don't know, members, if you are hearing me on TV, members, we pastors are competing in flesh. And it is wrong for us to compete. We should be complementing ourselves, not competing with ourselves. Because we are going to the same heaven. We're not going to a different heaven. We should say, oh, what our brother is doing in Suleri, all of you members there, go to that place for where? Oh, what my brother is doing there in Lekki, in Maryland, let's support his work. And let's all go and support his convention. The man is doing great work. He's bringing souls to Christ. It's, you know, because we are all cooks. We all cook different meals. The meal my friend Paul Adefrasi is cooking, I cannot cook. It's a preaching machine. I can't preach if it's preaching. I would have collapsed. The way I preach is different from the way he preaches. My pastor, Pastor Bakare, the food he's cooking is different from what I'm cooking. One is cooking jollof rice. One can cook ogbono. One can cook egusi. All of you can come and eat. But don't run down my ogbono. Because you are a specialty in what you call those people. Those people that cook continental meals. And a cat. They're giving us headache. Have you eaten some meals in 5-star hotels abroad? The plate is as big as my hand like this. The food will be so tiny. I don't. One day my friend took me to a restaurant, Wally Babalogo in England, one of the best restaurants in England. Yeah, I mean, beautiful place, lovely place. He said he wants to spoil me. He told me, he said, I want to spoil you, sir. Come. So he took me to that place, beautiful place. I mean, lovely. You could tell that. I think the only black people in that place that day, all were white. Near Canary Wharf, a business district. And we went there, we sat down, and I was waiting to be spoiled. By the time I finished that meal for 2 hours, I'm telling you, between you and I, everything could have been taking 3 or 4 spoons in Nigeria. You know? The plates they were bringing were so big, so large. I kept drinking. I said, well, when is the food coming? I said, they are coming. When is the food? And the plate would come, hey, excuse me, wah, second plate, wah. And then you now find the appetizer, something very tiny. You know that small thing. The thing was so tiny. I said, this is waste of space. This is what? Because the plate had so much space. The thing was tiny. I said, yeah, I said, what is starting here? Boom, hum, finished. Next. Because it's one hand, one go. It is upper class torture. Upper class torture to deceive yourself that is food. Go to lower class and eat food. Real food. My God! When you now get to me, go eat the real food. Because after I finished there, I went home and now ate the real meal. You know, when you eat the real meal, then I went to the kitchen and brought the thing out. My plate was full. You know, you know the way God helps us now. You know the way God blesses you and your cup runs over. It must run over. How can this one? The thing that cannot run over. You should go and read the Bible. Psalm 23. When God prepares a table before you, it must run over. Tiny, tiny table. There's no run over. Even that is not even sufficient. It must. I beg, let me quickly, because these people are all upper class. They don't like what I'm saying, because they want me to preach lower class. They are upper class. They understand that tiny little thing in that plate. Praise God. Did he spoil me? No. Did he spend his money? Yes. Big money! I was tortured in the name of spoiling. Because I had not eaten. I was waiting. You know when you want to go to place, I will eat today. I told him, of course, my very good friend. I said, don't bring me here. Give me another restaurant. The other time, I think, went on that one in Peckham, that place where Nigerians are. Those Nigerian rice. I entered Nigerian rice. I entered the place. The do the rice, the plate. You will eat and be tired of eating. You won't be able to stand up and go home anymore. Praise God. I said, praise God. So bear one another's. Number two, you should not hate your brother. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 to 10 says, he that hates is a murderer. He that hates is a murderer. 1 John 3, verse 14 to 18. If you hate anybody, God says you have killed them. Number three, I told you there's no social class in church. You must never encourage, number three, I beg your pardon. You must never encourage social class. James told us in chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, if a rich man, I like the way James put it. Give me James again. He says, James 2, verse 1, if a rich man comes to your church dressed in gay clothing, he says, you now say to him, sit thou here. You tell the poor person, do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus with respect to persons. Sit down here. Now tell the poor person, stand thou there. I like that here and there. Read the verse 3. Come to verse 3. Verse 3. You have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and he says to him, sit thou here. You see here there. In a good, say to the poor, stand thou there. Or sit here under my footstool. There is a here and there. Don't want to have a here and there relationship with my members. All of you should come here. We should all love ourselves. The way to fulfill the commandment is to lay down your life for your friends. John 15. How many of us can lay down our lives? Men of different backgrounds and classes to lay down, to sacrifice. Look, we're going to be doing cross campaign in a couple of weeks. Everybody else should be involved. Say, Pastor, I want to give my money to go and buy a t-shirt. Bring something. This church should be doing cross souvenirs by now. Why can't you do cross souvenirs and distribute and say, brothers, where? Why can't we show Christian love indeed? I don't have too much money. The small you have can still do a souvenir. Some branded product. Let us love God. Let us love people. If you know any, look, the cabinet has visited yesterday. You members should start visiting. I told somebody I'm going to divide four weeks in a month in this church. There'll be 1 week we will call visitation week. All members should visit. Bumi, are you with me? 1 week will be called social media week. Everybody in this church must be active on social media. 1 week we call our prayer week. Well, the prayer meeting church will be high. The church must know what we stand for. So we are all doing something together, and we'll build a house of God on the premise of love. Hallelujah. I've not seen my sister for a while. Let me go there. Don't mind her. She won't go and love her. And she's angry with me. Ask her to forgive you. She won't forgive me. Okay, you forgive her. Because it's obvious you're not forgiving her. Forgiveness is a very tough thing to do, but you must do it. The last way to show love, which is the most difficult way, can I tell you? To prefer somebody else ahead of you. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4, and Romans 12, verse 10. To prefer somebody else ahead of you. Very difficult. He said, prefer one another ahead of you. Philippians tells us that clearly. To say, this man, I will give you what belongs to me. I don't mind you taking that seat. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as I round up. Verse 4 to 7. And I'm going to read the code of love. These are the attributes of love. Write it down. Number one, love suffers long. Long suffering. The word long suffering means it endures. Brethren, are we enduring? Let us endure. Let us tolerate one another. Number two, love is kind. You know what kindness is? Show an act of kindness every week. Find somebody to be kind to. For God to be kind towards you as well. Be kind. Be kind. You know, Ernest, what do you mean to be kind? Just be kind. Love is kind. Be kind. When somebody, today's service, we have what we call love angels. I spoke with the love angels last week and I trained them. I had a training session with my love angels. And I told them after each service,
Let us go out deliberately. Have on your chest host and hostesses. Go out and look for new faces in church to greet. Hello, how are you? My name is Shegun. Are you okay? Yes. Can I be your friend? There's nothing wrong in that. Ah, Pastor, these brothers, they will not begin to see you, sister, and say they want to marry you. And you will say no. Because you know, the worst case is the guy will come and propose to you. You will say, he can't rape you in church. But you can love. I don't want to love, so they won't take me for granted. And then, let them take you for granted. Lay down your life. Empty your reputation. We're too egocentric. We're too, my wife calls it I-itis. Ah, my wife dealt with me, my wife. When we got married, I had too many I. She would say, I-itis. When I'm going out, I say, hey, I will do this, I-itis. Ah, we have to be doing the we. And she likes we-itis. The devil had too many I-itis. Let us die to the flesh. Today, meet 2-3 new friends. Go out of way to love. It is wrong for you to be at the filling station. You're buying fuel. You see photo sticker on the other person's car. You see the person in church every week. Oh, you're looking at each other. Oh, greet first. Sure. Oh, greet. You say, oh, greet first. And he's a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Say, bro, how are you? I knew that at my church. Yes. Ah, Epeleo. What's your name? Oh, they tell you their name. There's no sin in that. What is the problem in that? Why don't two people greet? Eh? Why do people greet each other in church? Why are you beefing each other? I am still here to understand why people beef in church. Why do you guys beef? They call it beef. Why are people beefing? Start fishing. Beef is not good. Fish is better. I was going to teach my singles, and Sister Violet, my PA, refused. I should not use the word hunting. I said, we're going to teach men how to hunt for ladies. He said, no, hunting is offensive to me. We're not praised to be hunted. Two other sisters said, let them hunt us. Let them want to hunt us. If you don't want to be hunted, that's you. Me, I want to be hunted. Hunt me, I'm here. If you don't want to be hunted, I was going to do hunting rules. So young men can know how to hunt for women. No, Ace, Ace, come here. How can you call a woman Ace, Ace? Be courteous, be polite, be a gentleman. So I was teaching my singles how to be gentlemen. And she said she doesn't want to be hunted. She wants to be courted. I said they will court you after they hunt you. Hunting first, then courtship later. Abby, should I do that? Should I give you hunting rules? Men, should I teach you hunting rules? I beg, boy. Praise God. Love is kind. Be kind to somebody today. This week, join the love angels. Be an angel of love. Spread the good news of love. Christianity has to change. We will practice it. Love isn't jealous. Give me again. I want to rush it through. Love is not envious. Give me that passage. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. They are slow. Love is not envious. Do you know what envy is, Mr. Teru? Recently, I was appointed, not yet inaugurated. And there's some people I expect to celebrate with me. Some did not celebrate. They don't even send. One of them just sent me a text. And I felt like, So I called my wife, sweetheart, what is wrong? What have I done? She said, no, they are envying you. I said, but why are they envying me? We're not chasing the same things. Love does not envy. Is there? Charity envieth not. When you see your brother in church getting promotion, rejoice. Bible says, rejoice with those that do not beef people in church. Don't be angry. Ah, our sister has not been promoted though. She's now with this. She's the only one. Rejoice. There's so much envy everywhere. These are the moral codes of scriptures. Do not envy. An envious heart is not a healthy heart. It's not a healthy heart. Don't envy people. Thank God for them. God will do your own. God will do your own. Love is not boastful or proud. Love does not, is not boastful. Does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. That word puffed up means arrogant, with superiority complex. Love is humble. Humility and meekness are traits of love. You don't show what you have by doing bling bling. Take it easy. Live a simple life. Brethren, you cannot miss it with a simple life. Don't take life too difficult. My mathematics teacher in grade 3, or what you call primary 3, taught me that years ago. We'll be doing this. I said, aye, yo, le, awa monuela, le. When a math is difficult to solve, since I had to solve it, you say, aye, yo, le, now this word is not difficult. Is it human beings there that are making it difficult? Don't boast. Don't be arrogant. Don't be puffed up. When God lifts you up, thank God. Don't carry yourself above what God has carried you. Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 3, a man should not carry himself more highly. Love is not puffed up. Those that are practicing agape love, they are not arrogant. They're not, you know, people say, self-confidence. I have self-confidence. You're arrogant, bro. One of my sons used to do this in church. When he walked in church, after I ordained him a pastor, everybody reported him to me. Even the meekest woman in our church. I love this woman so very much from the bottom of my heart. She sometimes teaches me Christian love. She's one woman that I've respected all my life. I want to help me put your hands together for Deaconess Jumoke Araba. She won't want me to say it. There she is. That's that woman. I love her so much. Mama, please stand, ma. Let me clap for that woman. I have never seen Mama upset with any human being on earth. I don't know. She has never been angry with anybody. Let me clap for that woman. This is a woman young women should emulate. One day, Mama came to my office and says, sir, this man's toy is talking, doing this to me. I said, are you too? I called him. What's wrong with you? Everybody has reported it to me. I didn't believe them. But this woman, you are arrogant. He said, no, sir, they don't believe. I said, boy, you are there. No, you're angry. She's still doing this. Oh, the arrogance, you are a proud boy. I said, if I cannot talk to you, you have a problem. He knelt down and he said, please pray for me. He was on his knees. Pray for me, sir. If you tell me this to your face, that means I am. He was on his knees. Pray for me, sir. If you can tell me this, then I believe it. People are touching the berry. Tell somebody, cool down for Jesus. Say it again. Say, cool down for Jesus. Happy. Love is not puffed up. Especially the talent. You know the people like that are puffed up, the talented people like Joel. Your talent can puff you up. When you are so gifted and talented, you sing, everybody falls down. The next time if you're not there singing, say, get the place ready for me. I can't sing with this keyboardist. Get me a new keyboardist. My anointing cannot be with this small keyboardist. Are you ready, church? Are you in church today? Are you ready? No. Change the drummer. Change the drummer. Pastor, I celebrate you. I celebrate you. You're a man of God. Come on. You know, I'm so anointed. I'm afraid of carrying myself. Janet is carrying me. You are arrogant. You are a proud, pompous boy. You are a proud, pompous boy. Love is not puffed up. Let me go. Next verse. Is this? I like the hashtag. Hashtag is already good for Jesus. Social media people, they've already done hashtag cool down for. It is true. Today, if you see any person that is not as this, just don't let them listen to me and you. Just you pass by the person, cool down for Jesus. if you go and say it to somebody in church, the person that grabs you and say, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to me? You say, no, I just said cool down for Jesus. Pastor said we should say, cool down for Jesus. If you are hearing that message, I'm sorry. But cool down for... Praise God. Love is not puffed up. Bible says again, love doesn't behave rudely or impolite. Verse 5. To behave yourself unseemly means to be impolite, to be rude. Is there? Love is not rude. Love is not what? Rude. Then love isn't self-seeking. Seeketh not our own. Self-seeking or insist. Now, I read the translation. It says, insist on its own rights. I was shocked. I said, oh, this human rights. Hey, whoa, is there? Love is not self-seeking or insisting on our own rights. One translation is insist on your own rights. Sometimes it's your right. Let it go. Love is not easily provoked or angered or touchy. Love does not think evil, but has pure thoughts. Love does not rejoice in injustice and iniquity, but in truth and fairness. Love bears all things. You see, it does not rejoice, but rejoices in truth. Stop magnifying lies and falsehood or fake news. Love bears all things. Look at verse 10. Verse 7. Bears all things. You know what that means? Forbearance, not just forgiveness. To forbear means to live with people's weaknesses, people's shortcomings. That person's mouth is smelling. Bear with it. Sister Maka, she went, I can't do that too. That's love. Because I'm touching areas that are sensitive. That word bears means to live with it. Not that you like it or you to tolerate it. He says, how are you? You take a deep breath, he says, the Lord is good. The person, your husband or wife, snores. Ah, he said, God of heaven, love bears all things. Put cutting board there and sleep. No, say, leave my room, you are a snoring person. If you can help him with mouth freshener, give him a mouth freshener. But do not say, I don't love you. I won't walk with you. Let's bear with one another. I know it's a tough one. We must tolerate ourselves. Let us tolerate me. If all of you, I want you to clap for yourself for tolerating Rebecca Sally. Clap for yourself. Clap for yourself for tolerating me. For me, God will bless you. Because with my idiosyncrasies and my excesses, you still love me. Ah, God will love you back. Because I know me, I'm a tough nut to crack. I know I have my problems. But yet you people still live with me and tolerate me. You bear with me. Ah, God will keep you too. Clap for yourself now. Ah. Pastor P is the one I've bashed the most. Yes, this man bears with me always. Celebrate him for me. You cannot have a better number two. He bears with me. Never in the last 30 years or 25 years has he uttered one word against me ever. Clap for him. That is what love does. Love bears with people. You live with people's weaknesses. I will live with it. I want to love. That is love. Like I'm bearing with Rosemary and Nancy. I will bear with you. I will bear with you. Yes. Let me close. Love bears. Love now, the last three is very important. This is for all of us pastors here. When I read it yesterday, I was crying. Look at the next one. Love bears all things. Now, believes all things. The word believe all things is not all things in translations. It's in all people. It's to have faith in people. Not believing people telling you lies. It means to believe in people. Believe the best in them. See goodness in your members. See greatness in them. I believe in you. I believe in you. I will never despise you. I will never undermine you. I will never think you are finished. Nobody's a finished product here. Nobody. We are all work in progress. And God will help us all in Jesus' name. Love hopes for the best in people. And love endures and lives with people's weaknesses all the times. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Foundation of Truth Assembly Headquarters on 40/42 Imam Dauda Street off Eric Mosu Lere, Lagos. God bless you.